All right. Well, for the last several weeks, we've been looking at the book of Job. I want to continue tonight as well as Sunday evening and possibly next Wednesday evening. And we will have made our trek through this 42-chapter book. But tonight, what I want to give you is what Job teaches us about ourselves. What does the book of Job teach you and me about ourselves personally? Tonight, I want to give you seven things that are worth remembering from the book of Job. Number one, if you want to write these down, number one, we never know ahead of time the plans God has for us. I think you and I are keenly aware Job certainly had no prior knowledge. He didn't have any warning whatsoever what was coming his way. His world changed just on a dime. His world changed instantly. How many of us have started out on a particular day to not realize what detours that day would bring in our lives, whether it's through grief and loss, whether it is through something catastrophic that is happening in a marital relationship or with your children or what you're dealing with on the job or maybe with a long-time friendship. You see, Job's world changed in a moment's time. No doubt the sun had arisen on that particular morning. I'm sure that Job, probably being the person that he was, having all of the wealth that he had, having all of the great respect that he had, is known as one of the greatest of the men of the East, and that he was so highly, highly respected. Little did he know what would happen on that particular day that would change his life forever. Philip Yancey refers to the agreement that the Lord and Satan had when they had their secret encounter in the heavenlies. Yancey refers to that as the divine wager. The divine wager. Job certainly wasn't privy to that information. You and I have the book before us. We have the manuscript that is God-breathed, that is penned so many, many hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So you and I can read the first chapter and the second chapter, and we get a glimpse of all of the catastrophe that's woven in to the incredible, incredible conflict and pain and loss that Job is experiencing. But Job was never privileged to any of that divine wager between God and Satan. And I think one of the things you and I must learn from our studies in the book of Job is this: that we never know ahead of time the plans God has for us. Let me tell you, Job never knew that on that particular day, the walls of his Jericho were going to tumble down. Our Heavenly Father's plans unfold apart from our awareness. You see, ours is a walk of faith. We don't walk by sight. We trust. It's a learning curve every day that you and I live, that we just have to lean and trust on the everlasting arms of a loving, gracious Heavenly Father who always does that which is right, even when it doesn't compute and measure up to what we think it ought to be. No one knows ahead of time what the Father's plan includes. It's best that way. It may be a treasured blessing. Let me ask you a question tonight. It could be a test that comes our way and drops us to our knees. He knows ahead of time. But God is not obligated to warn any of us or to remind us of what's out there on the horizon. What we can be certain of this is that God knows best. God knows best in his infinite, gracious love and plan for our lives. He always knows what's best. Let me say this. It may be a treasured blessing. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you grateful to not know what the future holds for you? Aren't you grateful that you don't know how you will die? Aren't you grateful that you don't know what the longevity of your life will be? Because can you only imagine how that each one of us would wake up every day stressed to the gills about wondering and worrying, and then when that day should come or dawn, and we have to face the music of whatever that could be. You see, I believe that it is truly a treasured blessing that you and I don't know what is happening. You know, in the day and time that you and I live, there are so many people that out there in a secular worldview that are on the fringes of calling up mediums, checking their astrology, trying to find out what the future holds for them. Let me tell you, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he walks with me. I know he talks with me. I'm assured of his constant presence with me every moment of my life. And I'm thankful. And I'm grateful for that. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 10, there's several scriptures here that I want to give you in conjunction with. We never know ahead of time the plans God has for us. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, Jeremiah says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. And then in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, notice what God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now you might stop there and you might say, well, look at the calamity that came in Job's life. Well, as you well know, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. But Jesus said, be not overcome, for I've overcome the world. I'm grateful there in that verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Last Sunday morning, when I preached on the importance of priorities, rearranging, realigning our lives to be in focus, to have a godly perspective, to have a vertical upward look and outlook on what God would have us to do and be in our lives. In that verse 13, I think there is something that is so key there. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with some of your heart, with a little bit of your heart. He says, with all your heart. If you're going to search for God with all of your heart, through the scriptures and through his will and direction and plan for your life, then you're going to have to come away from the maddening crowd out there, the maddening crowd of life. You see, there's too much going on in our lives, and you and I catch all of the debris that comes our way on a daily basis. He said, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. You see, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart. with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he summed up the horizontal part, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I don't know about you, but I think if we were all honest here tonight, all of us have days that we cannot wait until nightfall, until bedtime. Am I the only one that longs for that? You know, there's just something about when God closes the curtains upon this world at night and you lie down on your bed and you begin to pray and you begin to thank God, and then you begin to ask God for supplications for other people, and then you pray for protection. As the psalmist said, don't let evil come nigh my dwelling. I don't know about you, but that's a prayer that I pray almost every night of the world. Don't let evil come nigh my dwelling. And I begin to pray like Job prayed. You know, the Bible says that Job prayed for his children because he did not know every waking moment of the day what his kids were doing. And lest that they should fall into some great sin in life or miss the mark of God upon their life, Job prayed for them. I'll tell you, one of the things that I pray for in my family is, God, I pray first and foremost for their salvation, for those that know you not. And then I thank you, secondly, for those who have trusted you. And then thirdly, I pray, Lord, let your protecting angels protect them so that no evil comes nigh their dwelling. Let me tell you, I would admonish each one of you here tonight. I would challenge each one of us here tonight to pray for the souls of your family members. Let me tell you, you don't know how a day will bring forth its problems, its heartaches, all of the stressors that people feel in their life today. But notice God says, for I know. You may not know. I may not know. But he said, I know. Aren't you grateful there's one who knows? You know, we sing that old song, in times like these, I have an anchor. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have the Bible. Be sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that he knows the plans that he has for me. I'm grateful that he says that you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. Any of y'all ever play hide and seek? You know what it means to seek someone, to pursue them, to look for them, to search for them. He said, you will seek me and find me when. Notice the condition that he places here. When you search for me, not for everything that's out there on Facebook, not for everything that's out there on Instagram, not for everything that's out there on the internet, not for everything that's out there on the television. When you search for me with all your heart. When I think about a search, I think about somebody walking through a cave, perhaps with a searchlight. And they're either looking for someone, or they are looking for treasures that have been hidden, or they are looking, as so many people out there in the field, of looking at various insects or looking for some type of archaeological digs to find something. You see, God says through Jeremiah, when you seek me, you'll find me. When you've searched for me with all your heart. No wonder the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. How many of you find it hard out there to be still? Any of you antsy? Any of you find yourselves just filled with anxiety? You want to spend time with God, and yet right in the middle of it, guess what? The old devil sends his demons by to distract you in some way, to remind you of everything you've got to do today, to remind you of who you need to see or who you need to check on, or various things that come from all different directions, from the antennas of life that filter into our very being. And I don't know about you, but I find myself so caught up in the moment of so many things to do and to get done that sometimes when we're praying, sometimes we're really not searching the depths of the riches that he has. Notice in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, notice what Solomon said, the mind of man plans his way. Have you already planned what you're doing tomorrow? I can assure you some of you are planning right now. You're thinking about that. What I'm going to do tomorrow. Proverbs says the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The mind of man plans his way. How many of us begin our day with our own plans? God, are these my plans? I mean, they're good plans, but are these the best plans? Are these the plans that you have for me today? You see, sometimes what I think are the best plans really become the menial task, and some of the more menial things actually are really the greater task that need to be done. So oftentimes we look at the big ones when it's sometimes the opposite of that. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, man's steps are ordained by the Lord. Now right there, I want to go to the 139th Psalm in verse 16. I don't know, Martha, if you're able to do that. Psalm 139, verse 16. If you could pull that up, because it speaks about ordained by the Lord. Notice in Psalm 139, verse 16, what the psalmist has to say there. I've quoted this verse often, not Haggai, but Psalms. Psalms 139, verse 16. Brent, can you get that for us? Okay. I think this verse that the psalmist penned there is so hugely important for you and me to see and to refresh our memory on all the time. Well, let me read it to you. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days in your book were written that were ordained for me. Did you realize God has your days ordained? Did you realize it says, when as yet there was not one of them? He ordained your days before you were ever formed. He knew your days before you ever were. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, Solomon speaks about that man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? I'm grateful to know that in the book of Samuel, the Bible says there's but a step between me and death. Job said, he's determined my bounds. The Bible says he's numbered my steps. The Bible says to everything there is a season, there's a time and a purpose for everything under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's timing. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. I love this passage here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Think about that tonight. For my thoughts, God is saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. What is he saying there? Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's an incredible passage of Scripture, isn't it? That oftentimes we think God ought to think the way we think. That's why God does not tell us everything. If you'll notice in the book of Job, God never gave Job an answer to the question Job longed for. God never answered that question for Job. But somehow, I believe that when Job came to the place when he said, I have heard about you, I think that Job understood so much more at the end, obviously, than he did at the beginning. But one of the reasons that I believe that God did not tell him the answer is because in Job's finite physical mind, he would not have been able to comprehend an infinite God who has infinite wisdom that you and I do not understand. Let me give you an example. Do you think those disciples understood for 3 years when Jesus performed miracles, cast out demons, healed people, the leper, healed the blind man, healed the lame man? Do you think that as he tried to tell them that things were going to be different the night before the crucifixion, do you think they comprehended that? They did not. They did not. As the song said, they could not. You see, they could not, and neither can you, and neither can I. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and God's thoughts than our thoughts. Just putting that into plain language where you and I are. And so, whenever you don't get the answer that you're looking for, just understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are far beyond anything you and I can think. And we only see in the moment, in the present, what we're experiencing and where we are, when God has a far greater plan for all things. Romans 8, 28, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You see, when we don't understand, and I love that song the choir sings, bend the knee, bow the knee. When you don't understand, all you can do is lean on the everlasting arms of the one who does know, the one who does understand, to know that somewhere in the midst of what you cannot grasp, that he works out a plan far beyond our understanding. It will be for our good. It will be for his glory. And we may never understand it. Now, someday, perhaps we will understand it, or will the former things just not matter anymore to us? You see, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, 6, and 7, and I'm going to close on this one here in a minute. Be anxious for nothing. Are you anxious tonight? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice with thanksgiving, he says, do it by prayer and supplication. And notice he says with thanksgiving. Paul says, let your request be made known to God. Now, your request and your supplications, we need to make those known to God and be thankful, but say, not my will, but thine be done. I don't know about you, but things that I pray for every day, every night. And when I'm praying with people about specific needs in their life and specific things that they're struggling with and things that they're going with, one of the things I will say is, Father God, I'm thanking you in advance that you're going to work this out. But not my will, but thine be done. Notice he said with thanksgiving. We're just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to come every single day of our lives, shouldn't it? I mean, it shouldn't just be Thanksgiving once a year. It ought to be Thanksgiving as we are living each and every day of our lives. And notice what he goes on to say in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then look in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when... Now I want you to get this. Consider it all joy. He's speaking to Christians, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, I don't know about you, but I hadn't jumped any pews lately being joyful and gleeful going through a trial. I really doubt that many of us have. But notice what James said, the half-brother of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He was the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Job endured. I mean, heroic endurance. Incredible endurance. I hear people say to me all the time, Pastor, I know he said he had never put more on us than we could bear. Well, folks, I think that's really wrong. I think it's he never puts more on us than he can bear. How do I live life? Through him, through his power. Not in my own strength, not in my own power. And James said, knowing that the testing of your faith, it produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect, that means complete result, so that you may be, notice, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt, that means to lift you up at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I'm going to stop right there and we'll pick that up Sunday evening. But one of the things that you and I need to remember from what Job teaches us about ourselves is we never know ahead of time the plans God has for us. You know, in the loss of your job, it just may be that God has something better. It may be that God has something greater. It may be that through the loss of that, God is going to do something wonderful in your life that you cannot see today. I believe with all of my heart that the reason that most Christians are not living with the peace of God is because we are not trusting and obeying the Word of God. Would you stand as we pray together?